Amen. Let's go to John 3:16. We're going to jump right in. Keep hearing seed go. Go and grow. And why don't you, well, you can read it if you want, but I'm in the Good News Translation, so I don't want to throw anyone off. Doesn't bother me if you read along because I won't get thrown off. Okay. We're going to read verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world so much. Excuse me. See, I have King James memorized. The Good News Bible says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior. And in John 13, verses 34 and 35 out of the Voice, it reads, so I give you a new command. What kind of command? Okay. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways, plural, that I have loved you, and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know that you are my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. It's really that simple. We've been talking about renewing our minds. And I'm not going to go into a lot of review. There are some things I'm going to go over, going to touch on. First, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, because it's one of the foundational scriptures. We'll read it together in the King James, and I'll share it in God's Word translation. Verse 17. Are you there? Let's read. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God's word says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Since I've been in Christ, that means I cannot respond to you the way I would have responded before October 1984. That person has passed away. The one standing in front of you is new. And the new you should be much better in Christ than you were before Christ. Would you agree with that? Good, as Pastor Clinton said, it's so anyway. All right. Then let's go to Romans 12. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when I started looking up different words, present means you place a person or thing at one's disposal. That's what that means. So God is telling us right away, I want you to put your bodies at my disposal. Not your disposal, put them at my disposal. That means let me do in and with you what I want to. That's what he's telling us. Conformed means conform yourself, your mind, your character to another pattern. It can also mean have the same form as another. Renewing means a complete change for the better. What kind of change? Complete. And mind just means your faculty for perceiving, understanding, feeling, judging, determining. And prove means to see if something is genuine. So looking at all of those definitions, we could read that verse. I'm calling you to put your bodies under God's control. Don't let your mind and character have the same form as this world. Change to another form. Completely change your perceiving, understanding, feeling, judging, and determining so you will see that God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is genuine. It's that simple. But the Message Bible puts a different spin on it entirely. Message Bible says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. And see, the reason that's important is because we think it's something different that we have to bring to God. He's saying, no, I want your everyday, ordinary life. And in case you're thinking, well, what is it? He said, you're sleeping. How many of you sleep? How many of you eat? Go to work? Walk around? Okay. Well, that's what he wants. You'll take your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. Now, here we go. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. See, what happens is, too often, we will allow what we're used to define who we are. And we'll let people tell us, this is who you are, based on their understanding, and too often, their lack of expectation for you to rise any higher than you are. And we fall right into it. One of the things that grieves me, you know, you all know that Deacon Phyllis is a teacher, and I get involved in her classes and, you know, in the school and with some of the children in the school, and it grieves me that there can be someone in the first grade that's been labeled as a holy terror or something else. And regardless of what you may try and do, because people keep saying that about him, and he keeps believing that about him or about her, they're having what they say. Because they have, in effect, put this person in a particular culture, and they, not knowing any better, because they're only 6 or 7, they fit right in. They don't know. Well, we're not 6 or 7. One of us at least is 8. In here. Okay. But we know better. Or maybe I should say we should know better. We should be secure in who we are. And since God expects that because we receive Christ, there should be a change, the first thing we have to change is the way we think. Because the way we think sometimes gets us in trouble. Look at Proverbs 23 quickly, please. Let me know when you get there. Are we there? Okay. Let's read verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, when I read that, I ask myself, okay, how did it get into my heart? Well, first it had to get into my head. And the reason it went from my head to my heart is because when it got to my head, I didn't get rid of it. I let it stay there. And I let it feed off stuff. And then it found its way down to my heart. And I still didn't do anything about it. And it began to feed, and it became the abundance of my heart, and now it's coming out of my mouth, and I have effectively reshaped my life. Why? How can that be? Because this little rudder called the tongue changed my direction, changed my course. But it didn't force itself on me. It did it with my full permission. Why? Because of the way I allowed myself to think. Pastor Judy said something Sunday, I believe it was Sunday evening, that got me thinking. She was talking about how when God created everything, he looked and he saw that it was good. Some of you may remember. And she shared that if you research that phrase, saw that it was good, you'll find that means that he checked it out thoroughly, tested it, made sure. Well, thought came up. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And when he did that, he gave man the first blessing and command. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and what? Subdue it, and have dominion, you know, over everything that's in it. That's what he said. That's what he meant. He corroborated with that in Psalm 8 when he said, I've given you dominion. He said, as a matter of fact, I'm reading the voice because I like the way the voice said it, struck a chord. You ordained him to govern the works of your hands, to nurture the offspring of your divine imagination. You place everything on earth beneath his feet. That's what God did concerning us. He meant us to subdue the earth. He created us to keep the earth under, to bring the earth into bondage. He created us to dominate the earth. Do you believe that? Well, then the question comes, then why do we allow the earth to be devastated by hurricanes and floods and tornadoes? You know, why are people fearful of animal attacks, you know, West Nile virus, you know, and all of these things? Since God created the earth to respond to our dominion and checked it out and saw that it works, why are we allowing these things? Because of the way that we think. We don't think that we are God-ordained human beings. We don't think like that. We believe what we've heard or read about these things. We believe about their power, and we think their power overrides whatever God said. So when we hear about these things coming, we batten down the hatches and we do everything except walk in our authority. I remember Family Day last year. We were in the chapel. Guys looked like it was going to rain. We stood in the chapel and declared what? That it was not going to rain. Now we leave and go out and a couple of drops fell. And folks started getting into strife because some are saying it's raining. Others, don't say that, it's not going to rain. I'm like, we just said... We just declared it wasn't going to rain. Deacon Phyllis and I left to go to the store because it started raining. We got in the car, drove off the property. By the time we passed by that little church on Chipperfield and looked back, it was raining over the property and it wasn't raining anywhere else. I said, this is just too silly. We drove all the way into town, no rain, sun out, drive back to the property, still drizzling. I'm like, now this doesn't make any sense. We got this thing backwards. But we were not in agreement because some were thinking, hey, we have authority. And others were thinking, oh, well, it's raining again. So it becomes very, very important as to how we think. This is flapping around. Excuse me. Seems like I can't get it comfortable tonight. How's that? Okay. Let's look at Mark 4. I was fascinated by this. I was laughing because I was talking with Pastor Ed. And my plan was, I said, at 12 o'clock I'm going to have to unhook because I heard a couple of things, but I just need all, I need time. And then pastoral stuff got in the way. And I'm looking in, what was it, after 4? And we said, hey, the Holy Ghost knows what he wants to say. Mark 4, are you there? Okay, I'm going to share this in the voice, and we're going to, you know, stop along the route here. The same evening, Jesus suggested, the same evening, Jesus suggested they cross over to the other side of the lake. With Jesus already in the boat, they left the crowd behind and set sail along with a few other boats that followed. As they sailed, a storm formed. The winds whipped up huge waves that broke over the bow, filling the boat with so much water, listen to this, that even the experienced sailors among them were sure they were going to sink. Now we got a violation of two scriptures going on here. All right. See, this is Romans 12:2. We have experienced sailors. They believed that they knew everything there was to know about sailing through storms, about dealing with waves, and about the strength of their boat. They knew. They were the experts. They were so comfortable with their knowledge, they just flowed with it, even though it was contrary to the instructions given by Jesus. We're going to the other side. He said, well, why would they do that? They were experts. They were so well adjusted to their culture, they didn't even consider any other options. Everything that I know, everything I've ever experienced, says when you have water coming into the boat like this, you better be a good swimmer because you're going down. Period. They were experienced. They never once thought maybe there could be a different outcome here, because after all, Jesus is in the boat. But they couldn't remember what Jesus said because they were too busy remembering everything they knew about the circumstance. They couldn't trust what Jesus said because they didn't remember what he said because they didn't think about it. They were thinking about what they saw, and they lined that up with what they knew, and they came to a conclusion, we're sunk. We're still doing that today. There are experienced professionals, I'm not talking against them, I'm just telling you how it is, who said to you, you can't walk. And you think, I can't walk. So guess what you don't do? Or even try to walk. They've told you, you're going to be on medicine for the rest of your life. You say, well, I accept it. That's the way it is. And we don't even consider any alternatives. We don't consider it. But you're not qualified for this position. He's like, oh man, I should have gone to school. Mommy was right. You don't consider it. What? They know. They do this all the time. And they said, this is what's going to happen. Well, why are you fitting into their culture without even thinking? Because their culture is not necessarily your culture. And just because they say it is so, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is, or that's the way it's going to stay for you. What are you thinking when you hear those things? I fell into that trap. They said, your mama had it, your grandmama had it, your daddy had it, okay, and now you have it. And I'm like, have what? Said, hypertension. Said, aside from that, there's another thing that you have to consider. So what's that? Then their voice always changes. You're African American. I said, I am? Okay. And they say, and of course, with African Americans, you're going to have to deal with high blood pressure and or diabetes, because they say, it's genetic. And I'm like, fertilizer. It's not genetic. It's cultural. It's cultural. We like food loaded with salt and fat. You know, some of y'all eat chitlins and stuff. I don't know how. But, and you eat them with salt. Don't hit me now because you like chitlins. It's okay. I don't care. Just don't offer me any. We love sugar. Love sugar. I remember going to this fried fish place on 125th Street, and I believe either 5th or Madison. The lines, no exaggeration, were like, if the store was at the top near the pole G, the lines were all the way down here, around there, and up. People getting parking tickets and not caring. I mean, this is amazing. The three cars parked in the bus stop. The ticket agents are standing, no exaggeration, folks, they're standing there. People get out of their car, walk into the restaurant, and they just, they come out, they have their food, they're happy. And they take the ticket, put it inside the car, drive off. And we're like, man, I got to taste this food. Okay. Deacon Phillips and I stopped there, got food, drove into Little Neck because we were going to go to the movies. So we sat back there to eat it. I mean, and the aroma just filled the car. And we got the fried fish combo, scallops, shrimp, you know, and big glass of lemonade, big container of lemonade. And we sit there, and we're ready to go. We bless our food. Go in the bag, and I bit into it, and it's like someone poured a box of salt down my throat. And I got it back in the bag quickly, and I said, I need something to drink. Took a swig of lemonade. It was like lemon syrup. I'm like, oh, no. We had to leave, drive to a store, and get some water just to wash our mouths out. But then we wonder why there's an epidemic of obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes. We're fitting into things, and we're not even thinking. I got to admit, I never once thought, let me ask God if I should be eating this food. I was looking at the lines of people getting tickets to get this food, and I said, oh, I have to try this. Okay? But that's... You have these experts that were on the boat, these experienced sailors, not thinking anything about what Jesus said, just thinking about what they know. Verse 38. Okay, now remember, I'm in the voice translation. Jesus was back in the stern of the boat, sound asleep. Sound asleep on a cushion. The boat is being filled with water to the point where the experts know that it's going to sink. and they find Jesus sound asleep. Folks, if your leaders are not concerned about it, don't you be concerned about it either. If your leader's not excited about it, don't you be excited about it. See, Pastor, if someone comes in here with purple hair and we don't care, leave them alone. Leave them alone. However they come, you don't see us getting up and having a fit, leave them alone. If that's what your leader's doing, then that what they're doing is they're giving you an example. Right? He was sound asleep, and the disciples shook him and shook him awake. Now see, I'm thinking, okay. If we're going down, this boat is going under, and I go in the back, and if Jesus is running around screaming, "God help me, I'm about to die," now I can panic. Okay? But I go back there, and he's asleep. Okay? I'm not waking him up. You know what I'm going to do? Get me a cushion and go to sleep also. Okay? Let the experts jump off the boat. I'm staying with him because he's not concerned about this. And this is the person that gave me the instructions in the first place. I can't emphasize how important it is to follow the instructions given to you by your leaders. And I'm not just talking about, you know, your church leaders. Follow the instructions. Pastor Edna, we had to follow some instructions. Some we didn't like. Some we thought were absolutely bizarre. But we followed them to the letter. And none of you knew we thought that they were bizarre. You would have thought that we invented them. Why? Because we're carrying out the orders given to us. And we're not moved by any reaction because of them. At least not in public. Right? No, I'm serious. Not in public. Because any public reaction can show disagreement with the one who gave us the instructions. And some folks would actually, at least they would ask me, "Well, do you agree with that?" Like, what do you mean, do I agree with it? These are our instructions. Deal with it. And you have the same choice I have. Follow the instructions or worship somewhere else. I mean, those are the only two options. What are you going to do, throw in rebellion? Not I. But they went to the back of the boat, and the Voice Bible says they shouted over the storm. That means they had to be screaming at the top of their lungs, "Jesus, Master, don't you care that we're going to die?" I'm like, would you make it feel better if I said nope? Jesus got up, and he shouted, but he shouted words into the wind. He said, "That's enough, be still." Immediately, the wind died down to nothing. It died down to nothing. And the waves stopped. See, as I shared earlier, all creation was designed to respond in obedience to the commands from mankind. Jesus knew that. Those were his thoughts. I can do whatever my Father says I can do. As a matter of fact, he said, "I say what my Father told me to say." And so he said, "Be still." And everything died down. I would have thought the people got it then. Verse 40. Jesus said to them, How can you be so afraid after all you've seen? And he's talking about the things that happened before then. Not on the boat, but before they got on the boat. He said, where's your faith? What are you thinking? Didn't anything that I've done, didn't that mean anything to you? Didn't you get any understanding as to who you were, who you are, because of what I did? That's what he's telling them. They didn't get it. Says the disciples were still afraid, slowly coming to grips with what they had seen. See, they couldn't get their minds off of what just happened, even though they saw it. The experts are probably saying, I don't believe this. Usually when this kind of storm comes, you sink. Boy, I had never seen anything like this before. Instead of thinking, hey, wait a minute. We should have been able to do that. Jesus, we apologize. We'll never do that again. And then they get on a boat looking for another storm just to prove their point. They said to one another, who is this Jesus? And they knew who he was. But because of what he did, now there's doubt. Who is this Jesus? How can it be that he has power over even the wind and the waves? How can it be? Because that's what God said. But he didn't just say that Jesus could do that. That was his command to man. Subdue the earth. Bring it into bondage. Any one of the disciples could have said, peace, be still. And they would have gotten the same response. But they were too busy in fear, fueled by what the experts have said. What the experienced sailors have said. That brought to memory something I shared with you Sunday from that book, A Transformed Life. It says, personal transformation requires radical change. Say radical change. Okay, that means that's something extremely different. It has been said that the only thing you can count on in this world is that nothing stays the same. You can change your address, your job, your wardrobe, your friends. You can even change your name, but your life will not transform until you change the way you think. How many of you want your life to your lives to transform? You got to change the way you think. Becoming a Christian ignites the process of transformation. Your relationship with God, eternal destination, and true self become new. Yet even with these wonderful changes, we are left in a world, remain in a body, and stuck with a mind that's pretty much the same. That's why Romans tells us we have to renew our mind. We have to renew and renew. As a matter of fact, it says the renewing, which means it's a continual process. There's no one silver bullet and bing, your whole mind is renewed. What? Well, you face things, different things every day. And so you have to keep renewing your mind so you don't get stuck. That's what it's talking about when it says the old way of living has to disappear and the new way of living comes into existence. We're going to look for a couple of minutes at the Apostle Paul. In Acts 7, it talks about when they were stoning Stephen, and they laid their clothes down at a young man's feet, and that young man was Saul. Okay? In Acts 8, it says Saul was consenting, Saul was in agreement with Stephen's death. He didn't have any problems with it. And in Acts 9, Saul is on his way with tapers to persecute the church at Damascus. And it begins, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round him a light from heaven, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what did he say? He said, who are you, Lord? Tells me he knew who he was. Okay. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you persecuteth. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. Right? And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, which means he was blind, he couldn't see. So they take him, and he was 3 days without sight, didn't eat, didn't drink. God spoke to Ananias, told him, you know, lay hands on Saul, told him Saul was a chosen vessel, and he did. And then it says in verse 18, when Ananias laid hands on him, immediately there fell from his eyes, as had been scaled, and he received his sight, went forth, arose, and he was baptized. And when he had received meat and food, he was strengthened. And it says, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, in verse 20, and straightway, that means immediately, he preached Christ in a synagogue that he was the Son of God. I'm saying, now, wait a minute, this was a Pharisee. Okay? And not just any Pharisee. This was Saul of Tarsus, trained by the best. What's the guy's name? Gamaliel. That name. Okay? A master of the law. And now he's preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which goes against his entire life up to that point. Everything that he was trained to be against, he's now preaching. This is the truth. Something happened to him. He changed. His thinking changed. It just changed. Saul of Tarsus submitted to Christ. And when Saul of Tarsus submitted to Christ, Saul of Tarsus passed away. Paul came into existence. And everything about Paul was different than it was with Saul of Tarsus. And it says later, further in the text, that the people sought to kill him. Why? He changed. He changed. Why is that significant? You need to know that your change is not going to come without opposition also. There are folks that are going to be against what you now stand for. They want the old you. Why? They want company on their road to hell. And your job is now has been to cause them to change their thinking and receive Jesus Christ and become a new creature. Because you have to think it so you can become it. If you don't think it, you'll never become it. And you will stay the way you are. Born again, living a defeated life. Why? Because you won't change the way you think. You won't dare to believe that everything that God said is absolutely true. But I found a principle hidden in verse 20. where it said, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues." And I tell you, that means immediately. As soon as Paul got the revelation as to who he was in Christ, he had to go out and tell somebody. He ain't stay in the closet. He went right into the synagogues and started teaching what he had just learned. And it said that it took him a certain day, I don't know how long, he had to be with the disciples to get ready. But he stayed as long as was necessary. And as soon as he was ready, he was out there in the synagogues doing what he was on his way to arrest people for doing. He became what he started thinking about. He started thinking about a life in Christ Jesus. He started thinking about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Start thinking about having eternal life. Start thinking about having dominion. And it became who he was, and he had to tell it. And it didn't matter that his life was on the line. And it says, all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came here with that same intent?" And the answer was, nope. This is a new creature in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ? You sure? So that means your old way of thinking, it's disappeared. Is that what that means? Some of you sound like you're thinking about it. Is that what that means? Right. A new way of thinking has come into existence? And we're sure about that. You believe as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? Okay. So what do you think when you hear $80,000 a day is coming into this ministry? God's giving us the Nanuet Mall, beginning first with the Sears building. What are you thinking? But you see a new mall going up there. But God said he's giving us the mall as a spoil, starting with the Sears building. What's going through your head? 10% of the property in Nanuet is ours. 10% of the people. Ours. 10% of the money. Ours. Sounds like you're getting weak now with that. It's like, okay, I can grab that other part, but now you're getting over in there. Okay. All right. The best days are yet ahead for Pastor Sarah. Redeeming Love Christian Center. Pastor Ed. Pastor Greg. You. Okay. God's will is being done in the leadership here in this church and in this nation, right here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Right. What about his will being done in the finances for Redeeming Love Christian Center, here on earth, just like it is in heaven? What about his will being done in your life, here on earth, just like it is in heaven? What are you thinking when you hear, no matter what the professional may say, with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're healed? Doesn't matter what symptoms present itself. What do you think? Are you thinking, with his stripes I'm healed? Then why aren't we acting like we healed? Not getting on your case, just causing you to think differently. Why are you sitting up top when you can make your way down the aisle and sit close? Who cares if it takes you twice as long? Are you going to let your body dictate to you who you are in Christ? Are you going to think about what it's going to take to get up and down these aisles? Are you going to think about that? Or are you going to think about what God said? Those are questions that we have to ask ourselves. Those are real things that we have to deal with. And if we can't handle that, we won't be able to handle, I'm giving you the mall as a spoil. I mean, we'll handle it when we see it. But if it appears to be any opposition, anything that's going to try and stop us, we have different thoughts. And we want to keep our thoughts based on the truth that God made us in his image and after his likeness and gave us dominion. And that we are the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Son of the living God said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You got to think it. You got to believe it. And I guarantee you'll become it. I'm done. Father, I thank you, and I give you praise, Lord. I thank you that every single person understood exactly what you were saying. No one received condemnation, but conversely, Father, everyone got exhorted to break free of the bondage that we were in because we'd been listening to those whom we say are experts. Because we've been leaning to our own understanding. I'm not saying that the research that we did wasn't true. I'm not saying that things don't exist, Lord. What I'm saying is just because contrary things exist, they don't negate what you said. Help us get that line of thinking. So that no matter what comes, we are firmly entrenched in who we are in Christ and what you said concerning us. We're going to think you wish above all things that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. And we're not going to think anything less. In Jesus' name. Amen.